About 3 weeks ago, I preached here at the funeral service for Bill Kissel, as you know, a retired Alliance missionary. And in 1953, as I have heard the story, Bill and his wife Clarabelle and their one-year-old son, who happens to be here today, left family and friends behind and boarded, from what I understand, was a cargo ship and sailed around the world to Indonesia. And the first two terms were spent in Kalimantan on the island of Borneo amongst tribal people in a relatively primitive and not always safe condition. And so I asked the question, why would anyone do such a thing? Why would anyone take such a risk? And the answer is that they were motivated by what I'm calling this morning a missionary mindset, an obedient response to the compelling call of God to do whatever it takes, wherever that takes us, and whatever that costs us, to bring the light of Jesus Christ to those who are still in darkness. I want to challenge us this morning that if our world is to be reached for Christ, if we are to do more than our part as the Christian and Missionary Alliance in fulfilling the Great Commission, it won't be enough for a few hundred missionaries to embrace this missionary mindset. It requires all of us to embrace it so that we are willing to do whatever the Lord is asking us to do in order to see this mission accomplished. Now, if anyone ever had a missionary mindset, it was the Apostle Paul. In Acts chapter 20, Paul was giving his farewell message to the Ephesian believers. And he talks about being compelled by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem, while at the same time being warned by the Spirit that hardships awaited him. It is as though the Lord was saying to him, I'm calling you, but here's the price you're going to pay. And it's in that context that Paul speaks the words of Acts 20:24 that I believe sum up for us what that missionary mindset looks like. So look at that verse with me, if you will. Acts 20:24, the words of the Apostle Paul. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. As we think about Paul's testimony in this verse, what does it look like for us to embrace this missionary mindset? Well, first of all, having a missionary mindset means learning to value the right things. Our culture is, by and large, suffering from misplaced values. A culture would tell us that the worth of our lives should be defined by the positions we hold, by the stuff we own, by financial security that we have, and even by security in general. But Paul saw worth and value quite differently, didn't he? Once Jesus Christ got a hold of his life, he had given up position, given up financial well-being, given up general life security in order to pursue Christ's calling. He saw that everything else was of no worth or value from the perspective of eternity. It was all tied only to this life and would be left behind at death, a wasted life. Only Christ's calling had eternal value, and Christ's calling was neither lucrative, nor safe, nor secure. In fact, pursuing the call of Christ had exposed Paul to all kinds of sacrifices and dangers, and even persecution. Eventually, in fact, it cost him his life. But his life was not wasted, but invested in the things that mattered for eternity. Paul's life was spent making sure that as many people as possible would be with him in heaven someday. So for all of us, there will be this clash of values. The values of culture over against the claims of Jesus Christ on our lives. And we will have to choose what we value most. And that choice will determine, quite frankly, whether our lives are wasted on the temporal or invested in the eternal. In light of Paul's experiences and words, let's think a bit more specifically about what some of those values choices might look like. First, there's choosing my own way versus being compelled by the Spirit. For Paul, the easiest thing would have been to heed the warnings that the people were giving him not to go to Jerusalem. He could have justifiably, we would think from a human standpoint, justifiably chosen his own well-being. But instead, he said in verse 23, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem. So will we take the easy way, the comfortable, secure, safe way, the way that appeals to our human flesh, or will we follow the compelling call of the Holy Spirit? In January of this year, Dwayne Stein, thank you for letting me have Dwayne to take to the district office, by the way. He's a tremendous blessing to me. He and I were privileged to take four Eastern PA district pastors to Thailand and Cambodia to see Alliance Missions firsthand for those guys for the very first time. And in Chiang Mai, Thailand, we connected with Mike and Elsie Combs, who are from Valley View Alliance Church in Hallam down in York County. Mike and Elsie went to Thailand initially a few years back as Alliance missionaries, but some of you will remember this. They were among the 30 missionaries sent home because of a financial shortfall. And may I say, I hope that never happens again. Let's do everything we can to see that that never happens again. But put yourself in Mike and Elsie's shoes for a minute. And easily they could have had hurt feelings, they could have been embittered, they could have stayed home in comfortable York County just to nurse their wounded souls. But instead, they continued to feel and pursue the compelling call of God to serve in Thailand. And so today they are Alliance licensed workers serving with Remember New, a ministry very closely associated with the CNMA that is helping to prevent young children from being sold into the sex trade industry. And I wish you could have been there when, after sharing dinner with these 53 girls in this one Remember New home, as they stood and sang to us after dinner. If you didn't have tears in your eyes at that moment, you needed to check your pulse because you might possibly be dead. It was a very moving experience. I'm thankful that Mike and Elsie chose the compelling call of God's Spirit to go and minister to young people like this rather than choosing their own way. A radically different value system than our culture embraces. That's the missionary mindset. And then there's a choice between ease and comfort and suffering and sacrifice. In essence, Paul chose imprisonment. He chose to risk his life rather than choosing his own comfort and security. Easily he could have said, I've done enough. I've already sacrificed. I've already suffered to within an eyelash of death. But instead, he resolutely chose to continue following the leading of Christ's Spirit. in Poipet, Cambodia, our team connected with Candy Lay, there on the left-hand side of the screen, one of our Eastern PA district missionaries. And let me tell you, some of you have been there and will testify to this same thing. Poipet is not an easy place for anyone to live, let alone a single lady. This town is so thick with poverty that you can literally smell it. Living conditions are unbelievably poor, and it's not a safe and secure place to live. But Candy has chosen a different value system. And so she is there helping with church planting in Poipet and the surrounding villages with a focus on youth ministry. She is sacrificing her own comfort and security so that others may know Jesus Christ. And in that same vein, on the other side of the picture, I think of Caitlin Kirk in the background there, our another Eastern PA district, this time missionary apprentice from our Lancaster Alliance Church, a young single 20-something lady serving Christ and following his call amidst the challenges and the poverty of Cambodia. And I salute her courage. By the way, while we were there, we also connected with a couple you might know by the name of Dave and Shannon, who flew in to meet with us and be with us for a couple of days. And there is another couple that has embraced a totally different value system so that they can follow the call of Jesus Christ. Again, that's the missionary mindset. And there's another choice. Clinging to money and stuff. Push the button back there for me, Matt. Thank you. Clinging to money and stuff versus giving generously. Also in Poipet, Cambodia, we connected with these faces that might be familiar to you. Kent and Chris Copeland, another Eastern PA district missionary couple, and of course an Emmanuel Church couple. You know the story. Kent is a medical doctor. Chris is a nurse. As we observed it, medical technology is decades behind what we have here. And think of their financial sacrifice. Think about the salaries that a doctor and nurse could be making if they just stayed right here in the good old U.S. of A. But again, they've chosen a different value system, and so should we. Let me ask you this. Are missionaries the only ones who should be sacrificing financially for the sake of the gospel? And the answer to that question, of course, is a resounding no. We all face the choice between holding on to what we have and sharing generously so that people to the ends of the earth might know the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the missionary mindset. So here's what it all comes down to. We have to make a choice between the temporal versus the eternal. We are all faced with choices about living for now, living for this temporal earthly life versus investing ourselves for the sake of Christ and His eternal cause. A cause that makes a difference between people spending eternity separated from God in hell and people spending eternity with God forever in heaven. Paul chose to live for the eternal, wherever that took him, whatever circumstances that brought him into, whatever the cost. Again, eventually it cost him his life, but he considered that the only value of his life was to invest it for the sake of Jesus Christ. In Bangkok, Thailand, our team connected with Eastern PA District missionaries Ed and Sue Daneker. In many ways, very ordinary people, but being used for an extraordinary ministry. I've talked to their regional director. We talked to their field chairman while we were there, and they said, we just send Ed and Sue out, and they plant a church. They've already been involved in planting 3 churches in Thailand, and now they're planting a 4th church. A few months ago, Sue needed to have her hair cut. And so they went to a beauty salon where they happened to be close to on that particular day. And there they met Nun, a hairdresser. And they shared the good news of Jesus with Nun. And she has trusted Jesus Christ to be her Savior and Lord. There on her beauty salon wall for everyone to see is her baptism certificate that declares, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. And she talks to anyone and everyone about Jesus. Bible studies, children's ministry, now being held in this beauty salon to the glory of Christ. Ed and Sue, I suppose, could be doing a lot of things, but they are giving themselves fully to make sure that as many Thai people as possible know Jesus so that they will spend eternity in heaven. That's the missionary mindset, learning to value the right things, the things that matter for eternity. Next, having a missionary mindset involves living out the call of the Lord Jesus. Think about it. The Lord Jesus has marked out the course of our race. Notice the phrase here in Acts 20:24. If only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. Jesus had laid out a specific course and assigned a specific task to Paul. And we know what that was as we read Scripture. From the moment of salvation, of his salvation, the Lord had indicated to Paul that he was going to be a missionary to the Gentiles. And so, Acts 13, beginning of that chapter, brought the fulfillment of that call. It says, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, they're named. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. So Barnabas and Saul, or Paul, were singled out by the Lord and sent out for missionary work. But I want you to notice that there are other people mentioned in this passage. Think about Simeon, Lucius, and Manaen, three of the prophets who were not sent out to the mission field. God's purpose for them was what? God's purpose for them was to stay right where they were, to continue their ministry of preaching and teaching in the church at Antioch. And thinking even a little bit deeper, there were others who made up the church at Antioch who ran their own businesses or worked in what we call the secular workforce. And while God was calling Paul and Barnabas to go, he was calling these folks to stay right where they were, to continue serving him there, being witnesses for Christ in their city, and standing in support of what these two sent ones, Paul and Barnabas, were doing. So for all of us, the Lord lays out a course, and that course will have some unique aspects for each of us. Some among us, right here, will be called into missionary service, will be called to serve in some faraway place, called to serve someplace where there's a different language to be learned, a different culture to be learned, a different religion. And you might say, as you sit and think about that possibility, you might say, I could never do that. I'm not up to that level. But I can tell you that the missionaries I've met over the years are just normal people who have surrendered their lives to Christ and followed the course that he has laid out for them. And so if you sense that tug on your heart, obey his call and trust him to make you adequate. Not because you are adequate, trust him to make you adequate by the power of his Holy Spirit. But not every one of us is going to be called to be a missionary in a cross-cultural context. At various points in my spiritual journey, I've offered myself up to the Lord to go overseas to do missionary service, but the Lord has never confirmed a call on my life to go. God has called me to a pastoral role here in the States, but that isn't necessarily your calling. Now, don't sell short the possibility that God could call you into missionary service or pastoral ministry. And yet he is calling some of you simply to keep doing what you're doing in the secular workforce to serve him in this community and in this local church. And if that's Christ's calling for your life, it is not somehow a lesser calling. The course that is laid out for us by the Lord is unique for all of us, but that course will have a common kingdom purpose for all of us. The work of Christ's kingdom is not reserved for missionaries and pastors. You hear that? The work of Christ's kingdom is not reserved for missionaries and pastors. We are all to be engaged in that work. We all live under the mandate of the Great Commission. If the Lord has called you to so-called secular work, he still has a spiritual purpose for you being there. He still wants you to be light in darkness. He still wants you to be a disciple maker right where you work and live. And think about it in a little different way. That secular employment is your means of making money. He wants you to be a steward of those financial resources that he has given and entrusted to you so that you invest as much as possible in kingdom work through this local church and through the work of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. So every calling is a kingdom calling. So Jesus has marked out a race for us, and we are to run that race to the finish line. Paul talks about finishing the race, completing the task. There was no quit in Paul, was there? No shifting into a lower gear, no retirement. Like a runner in a race, he was pressing hard to the very end. And as long as the Lord gives us life and breath, we can be assured that he still has a kingdom purpose for us, and we need to be pursuing that purpose. I love the story of Ross and Elaine Moore from Pine Glen Alliance Church up in Lewistown. Ross and Elaine were both school teachers who are in their mid-50s, came to the point where they qualified for retirement. And rather than retire and go fishing or golfing or camping or whatever, the Moores have retired and gone to the mission field. They have been appointed by the Christian and Missionary Alliance to work in a community center in Mali, West Africa, and are currently in France for a year of language study. Now, our culture equates retirement with the freedom to do what we want to do. And many Christian people retire and give themselves over to hobbies and travel, and they step back from the local church. They step back from service to the Lord rather than stepping toward these things. And probably most retirees never dream of giving some of their retirement years to missionary service. Let me challenge us to invest our retirement years for the sake of the kingdom. I'm not suggesting that you necessarily have to do exactly what the Moores are doing. Possibly some of you could do that. But if not, how about short-term missions? Perhaps some of your gifts, talents, and experiences could be put to work helping out our missionaries on the field for a few weeks each year, like a couple in our Carlisle Alliance Church who travel to various mission fields and do financial audits. And they haven't even retired yet. Or a couple from our church down in Glenmore, down toward Philadelphia, who have spent the last 2 years in Russia, St. Petersburg, Russia, working with our missionary team there. And if you happen to have some discretionary income, rather than spending it all on the things that you might like to do, how about making a substantial additional gift each year to the Great Commission Fund, or some special project that one of our missionaries is seeking to do? Now, I'm not suggesting that you never travel or never camp or never play golf or never do whatever it is you love to do, but I am suggesting that we shouldn't be spending all of our extra time and resources on recreational endeavors for personal enjoyment. I am suggesting that we need to invest substantial time and resources for the sake of Christ's kingdom. It's part of having a missionary mindset. Finally, having a missionary mindset will always lead to the proclamation of the gospel. Notice how Paul summarized Jesus' call on his life and ministry. The task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Paul knew his job wasn't finished until people heard the good news of salvation available through grace in Christ Jesus and had the opportunity to put their faith and trust in him. Certainly, as we attempt to address the needs of people, social and justice ministries are important. How can we ignore the practical needs of people while proclaiming the gospel and expect that they're going to listen, expect that there's going to be any credibility to our witness? We can't do that. We have to get our hands involved in providing food for the hungry, water for the thirsty, medical care for the sick, education for those who lack it, freedom to those in the sex trade industry, and so forth. Too frequently in past years, those of us in the evangelical world ignored these social and justice ministries and left them to the so-called liberals as though we had to choose between preaching the gospel and caring for the practical needs of people. We cannot ignore ministries that care for the practical needs of people. These ministries show the love of Christ to those who are in need. I'm friends on Facebook with Betty Arnold, wife of John Arnold. John and Betty are fellow alums of Toccoa Falls College. They were there when I was there. Now Alliance missionaries in Burkina Faso, West Africa. And they host short-term mission teams who drill wells in Muslim villages, providing clean drinking water for those who have previously had to walk long distances to get it. This is a means of showing Christ's love in a very practical way, but also of opening the ears and hearts of Muslim village people who might otherwise be completely closed to a witness of the gospel. But here's the danger in today's evangelical culture, that we would only address social and justice issues and fail to preach the gospel. Helping people temporally and feeling good about ourselves in doing so while ignoring spiritual and eternal needs. Ultimately, love and truth must be merged. If we are to help people in the most important ways, then the proclamation of the gospel is essential. As our Alliance president, John Stumbo, has cast his strategic vision for our Christ-centered Acts 1-8 family that we call the Alliance, he has started with the word love, but then he comes right along behind that and adds the word proclaim. We must do both if we are to maximize the effectiveness of our ministries for the sake of Christ and his gospel. Again, Paul knew his task wasn't done until the gospel had been proclaimed and people had been given the opportunity to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. When we proclaim the gospel, this shares the message of Christ in order to address everyone's greatest need. Romans 1:16, Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the what? Power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes." As the choir sang this morning, the power of the cross. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. People are lost without Jesus Christ and must hear the message of the gospel. Frankly, it would be a lot easier and a lot safer just to address social and justice ministries, just to care for the practical needs of people. Hey, it's when the gospel is proclaimed, it's when the name of Jesus is mentioned, it's when we begin to proclaim that Jesus is the only way of salvation, that the risk level goes up exponentially. In 2011, I was privileged to visit a place in Spain where our Alliance missionaries are reaching Muslim immigrants from North Africa, especially from the country of Morocco. And there I met Jorge and Marta, who are missionaries from the Alliance, not in the U.S., but missionaries from the Alliance in Colombia, South America. And Jorge and Marta had actually served in the country of Morocco. And there, as opportunities presented themselves, they had courageously shared the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there were some Muslim people who believed. A group began to form, the beginnings of a new church, but then an informant infiltrated that group and ratted them out, and they were hastily deported from the country. And one could imagine that the situation could have been much worse than that. Now think about this couple. Tried to do work in Morocco, sent back home to Colombia. Easily they could have just stayed home. We tried. But when I met them, they had just arrived on the ground in Spain to reach out to and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the same people group, Moroccan Muslims. Maybe safer in Spain than Morocco, yet still not completely safe by any means. That's the missionary mindset. And it must always include the proclamation of the gospel, no matter the audience, no matter the risk, no matter the cost. It's been my privilege over the last few years to get to know an Alliance missionary whose name I can't mention, but who no doubt would be known to some of you, and some of you will figure out who I'm talking about. He and his wife worked for years in a missionary hospital in Central Africa, loving people and proclaiming the gospel. And then a few years ago, they sensed a compelling call of God's Spirit to relocate to a place where Islam is the dominant religion. This man has a deep passion about reaching Muslim people for Jesus Christ. So imagine it. In their 60s, this couple began to learn Arabic and began serving in a predominantly Muslim country. And we ask, doesn't he know the risk that this move brought onto his life? Doesn't he know that this could cost him his life? Well, when this international worker was a college student at Geneva College in the western part of our state, he received a call one day to inform him that his parents, Alliance missionaries in Vietnam, had been killed in the Tet Offensive, martyrs for the cause of Jesus Christ. Does he know the risk? He knows the risk very well, and yet he goes to this less than safe place that the Lord has called him to. That's the missionary mindset. And it's the mindset that needs not only to permeate our missionaries, but to permeate those of us who are called to stay right where we are, to be witnesses for Jesus Christ right where we are, to be faithful, prayerful, generous senders of those who are called to the ends of the earth. I ask you this morning, what is it that the Lord Jesus is calling you to do so that your life fulfills the purpose of proclaiming his good news? And knowing what that is, are you willing to say yes wherever it takes you and whatever it costs you?